Hi, you're listening to the Petri.com MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF Chat, which is our very first one of 2021, is going to try to demystify a bit the hot topic of identity. And my special guest for this is Corporate Vice President of Identity at Microsoft, Joy Chick. Hi, Joy, and thank you so much for doing this chat with me.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Glad to be here.
Great. So for people who somehow don't know who Joy is, I'll give you a little background. Joy and her team are responsible for a lot of very key products at Microsoft, including Active Directory, Azure Active Directory, Microsoft Account, the Microsoft Graph, Identity Protection, and Identity Management Suites, all of which are delivered to customers as cloud services or on-premises products. And from Joy's LinkedIn profile, there's a little more detail that might be interesting. There she says, if you're one of the 2 billion plus users of Office 365, Skype, Outlook.com, Windows, Xbox, Surface, or Azure every month, then you're interacting with our platform. So given how central these identity products are to Microsoft, it's not surprising that they're also at the core of Microsoft's and many of its customers' security strategies. So let's just jump right in, Joy. I think it would be useful for the listeners if you could spell out exactly why Microsoft views identity as being core to security.
Absolutely. So Mary, if you know, I think we can all agree on the future is in the cloud. And therefore, you know, we just can no longer draw any barriers around our physical infrastructure the way we used to. We cannot rely on any of the physical firewalls like the VPNs. Mm-hmm. You know, like the pandemic has taught us, if anything, is, you know, we don't own all the devices that people are using to connect to the corporate resources. And frankly, we don't have control of all the applications they use. Mm-hmm. And the only common element in every computing scenario, I would say, is identity. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you have to sign in. And that makes identity is really the gateway to any organization's digital estate. And frankly, simply put, you know, the service that secure access for to everything for everyone is identity. And mm-hmm. identity-centric security just has a ton of benefit. You know, we think about security, you know, using adaptive access policies for authentication that can automatically block attacks and protect the critical data and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Also, from the identity perspective, you know, we think, you know, it's really important to balance the, you know, the experience with the security. So a seamless user experience that let people, you know, to work and collaborate securely is very, very important. And then you get the benefit from identity-centric security. And we also think about identity, not just about employees, which we typically do. But now we also think about, you know, the customers of the enterprise, their mm-hmm. partners. You know, there are many, many of these frontline workers. And for all the digital resources, including apps data, that we want to make sure that we secure access to all of that. And the last but not least, I would say is that a simplified identity governance that so that we can automate all those access control permissions and also to audit it across both cloud and on-premise, you know, the hybrid environment is super, super critical. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, the pandemic has taught us anything is identity is very much the critical path, the central to business success of our customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's a great introduction. You touched a little bit on trends in the space, but are there any kind of broader, higher level trends in identity that Microsoft is seeing right now that you think are worth calling out?
Yeah, there are a few things we see, especially, you know, in the past year. First, we actually see the acceleration of the macro trend, like, you know, what we've been talking about, digital transformation, which is shift to identity-centric zero trust security strategy. We definitely see adoption of a flexible work arrangement. you know, especially through pandemic, many people work from home and they remote access any apps, many apps. That what really, what, you know, kind of really eye-popping, frankly, is that, you know, many of, in the past, when we talk to enterprise, they are two-year plans in terms of deployment strategy. It literally, ever since the last March, you know, some just became 2 months plan or even, frankly, 2 week plan. So that drastic acceleration is something we see front and center. And the other part we also see is, although, you know, with pandemic, which has created a ton of economic uncertainty, is many organizations still choose to invest in modernizing security. Mm-hmm. We see them actually have the accelerated adoption of Azure AD, as well as other security solutions that Microsoft partner with. You know, we see actually from our apps, you know, the partner security solutions, like including like a Zscaler or Palo Alto Networks or Cisco AnyConnect, are just some of the fastest growing apps in the Azure AD ecosystem. And based on my own conversation with customers, as well as some of the survey we've done with the cybersecurity leaders, we definitely see prevention and posture management rooted in a holistic end-to-end security strategy that lead with zero trust is very much top of our mind. Second, we also know recurring remote work and the remote access to all digital resources. And last but not least, AI and automation. Basically, how do we augment the, you know, human intelligence with the best machine learning tools? That's the only way to, you know, secure all digital estates.
Okay. I want to dig in on zero trust, because I think this is a very confusingly named term. Maybe that's just me, but whenever I hear it, I get a little confused. So could you talk in high level terms, what is zero trust and how does zero trust fit in with identity?
Absolutely. Zero trust is very much a security mindset, a set of a principle. Because we used to assume, you know, everything that behind the corporate firewall was safe. Well, we don't have firewall anymore. And also for anything we know, that's, you know, even within corporate network, you know, a breach happens. And in the cloud world, we really say the safest thing to assume is nothing is safe. So the three principles that we adhere to, one is verify explicitly. Second is use least privileged access. And last but not least is always assume breach. And that these are the three principles that we apply to everything we do. From the identity perspective, you know, like use verify explicitly. That means to validate any access request in the fullest context, beyond just the user account, the devices that you are connecting from, then the what networking you use, the network that you're connecting from, the application you access, and the data that you wanted to get access to. So if there's anything suspicious about any of the elements, like if a user is signing from a, you know, a different location that's suspicious, or the device is not compliant, or they're trying to access sensitive data, then we can ask for additional verification, which is like MFA, or simply block access when it's needed. And then on the least privileged access, what we really mean is that we only want to grant access with the minimum level of access privilege to the user that they need to complete the task, and only for the duration of the time they need. So, like analogies, you can let people into your building, but only during the hours they need to work, right? If from the physical access perspective, and then you really don't want to let them into every building or every lab. And then the last principle in terms of assume breach, you know, we should always assert that breach does happen. So what it means is all systems should be ready to detect and remediate any attack. And so we always design and all our infrastructure in the way is, one is how can we detect and how do we minimize the blast radius and how do we remediate as fast as possible. And identity is really the foundation of this zero trust security strategy, because that's the only place I would argue that really connects all the different parts of the security solutions together in order for us to have an end-to-end visibility. And in our case, actually, the conditional access is the security policy that make it all happen, because the exams examine all the full context of every authentication request and then make the appropriate access control action.
Okay. That's good. Thanks. If you were talking to somebody in IT who was just not all that familiar with a lot of these concepts that you're talking about around zero trust and identity, and they said to you, okay, what are like the three things or the best or the easiest and quickest ways IT can actually implement identity into their security policies, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say three things. The first step I would say is to connect your identities to the cloud. And the reason is that is the fastest way in order to get access to, you know, the cloud security. Because, you know, as much as sometimes people might say, hey, am I better off of being my own on-premise or not? The cloud really gives us the unlimited compute power, as well as just the trillions of signals that we gather that we can use machine learning and AI in order to recognize the attack patterns. And frankly, that we can do that ahead of any single organization can potentially recognize any of the attack signals. Mm-hmm. And so with Azure AD, one of the things is, you know, I know a lot of our customers, you know, they have on-premise infrastructure. So using Azure AD Connect, you can synchronize on-premise identity to Azure AD so that you can manage all the security policies and govern identities in the cloud. That way you get the benefit from the cloud security, but you don't have to rip and replace on-premise infrastructure. You can do that transition at your own pace. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. But once you connect your identity to the cloud, you know, and the next thing you really should do is turn on multi-factor authentication. And mm-hmm. I always tell our customer, if you only do one thing, please turn on MFA, and then turn on MFA for everyone. Because the number one attack vector is still stolen credentials. Mm-hmm. Well, identity, we'll say, you know, people don't log in for the sake of logging. It really is about to access applications and data. So going further, we're recommending connect all apps behind a single identity solution. And when I say all apps, it's really not just cloud apps. It's on-premise apps or your custom built sort of line of business apps. Because that really helps to make identity as a control plane for all applications as well as users. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, some of the myths is, you know, people think of Microsoft only secure access to Microsoft apps. The fact is Azure AD, the app gallery, we actually include thousands of third-party SaaS apps, includes like Adobe, you know, ServiceNow, or including even our competitors like Zoom, Slack, G Suite, if you name it. They are among some of the more popular apps in the Azure AD app gallery that's being heavily used. Mm-hmm. The last point, Mary Jo, I would just say is that actually Forrester study actually estimate by consolidating to a single identity solution and connecting all apps through single sign-on, literally save for an organization about 10 minutes per week per employee. So it is quite significant.
Okay, that's great. Another concept I wanted to ask you about, because I hear Microsoft officials talk about this all the time, is going passwordless. So how does this actually work in theory and in practice when it comes to identity?
Yeah, like we all know passwords are not secure, just no matter how many characters in our passwords or how complicated it is or how often you change it. It's just not enough to keep us secure, right? Mm-hmm. We know stolen credentials is the top way for bad actors to gain unauthorized access. So a strong authentication is very important. Passwordless authentication really means it replaces the text passwords with something you have plus something you are or something you know. Like example would it be using Microsoft Authenticator app. That is something you have is your phone. And you can combine that with something you are, like your fingerprint, or something you know, like a PIN number that stays on the device. In practice, you know, passwordless authentication really protects users from unintended actions. You know, just like when you accidentally clicking on a phishing link. And then, but at the same time, it improves the user experience because they don't have to enter a password. Mm. You know, so the fact of what we've seen is that there's an incredible amount of adoption of a passwordless authentication. Last year, we shared that over 150 million users across Azure AD, as well as our consumer identity Microsoft account, has gone passwordless. I mean, that 150 million users is huge. And the last year alone, passwordless usage in Azure AD itself has grown by more than 50%. Mm-hmm. And this is across Windows Hello for Business, Microsoft Authenticator, as well as the FIDO2 security keys. Mm-hmm. We have more coming exciting news to share this year, and we definitely look forward to that. We think this year is the year of passwordless.
Mm. Okay, good little tease there. I like that. How about now let's talk about the Microsoft Graph, which is the centralized API that seems like it's pretty much key to everything Microsoft's doing these days. So how does the Graph fit in with the overall identity and security thinking and strategies that you have?
Yeah, we made a pretty big bet on our overall integrated solutions because you know, customers do recognize the value of solutions that you can share signals and data across services. So Microsoft Graph provides basically that unified API surface, if you will, for accessing data across like Microsoft 365, Windows 10, and Microsoft Security Compliance Identity Solutions, which is making it much easier for developer to, you know, create, you know, their integrated solutions on top of it. And particular for security, this is super helpful. Because in identity space, we centralized all identity APIs behind a Microsoft Graph. So customers, you know, they can not just only manage all the user and access policies from the Azure AD portal, but they can also write in code and automations to manage it through API surface. So this type of flexibility is tremendously important for enterprise customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Azure Active Directory, since that also is basically the core of identity at Microsoft. And I saw recently there was a blog post that said, starting April 1st this year, Microsoft's going to go from 3 nines to 4 nines, or 99.99% guaranteed availability for Azure Active Directory, which is pretty amazing. So I'm curious what changed at Microsoft to enable this kind of higher level SLA guarantee for customers?
Yeah, I would say we've been on this journey. You know, I always say, you know, sort of my team is pretty clear. Our number one job is to make sure our service is secure and reliable. And it has always been top priority, you know, ever since the beginning of Azure AD, if you will, above everything else we do. And we continue to invest heavily in the scalability and the elasticity of the service. Mm-hmm. Just to share some of the investments that we shared in the SLAS announcement, these are all cumulative in terms of set of investment well, and we'll have more, you know, sort of ongoing. Examples, some of them are like we moved our authentication service to what we call a more cellularized architecture, meaning we create more fine-grained fault domain isolation so that you can isolate failures to a much smaller percentage of total users. In the past year alone, you know, we increased the number of fault domains over 5x, and we keep planning to go, you know, doing more and more over the next year. Another example is we added another layer of resilience by rolling out this thing we call the Azure AD Backup Authentication Service, which runs parallel to the primary Azure AD service. The way to think about it is this like the backup generator or uninterrupted power supply, you know, for your sort of power grid analogy. So if the primary system goes down, the backup service automatically kicks in and takes over. So from the customer point of view, they don't notice any difference. and there's no downside at all. Mm-hmm. And another areas in terms of application services, use our managed identity for Azure resource capability. They can now also benefit from the what we call the integration with regional authentication endpoints. Because again, similar to the fine-grained fault domain isolation, these regional endpoints provides a significantly more additional layer of resilience and protection. So even if the primary Azure AD authentication system has issues, you know, it basically puts additional resilience. Mm. These are just some of the examples. But one thing, you know, I think we feel really good about is our investments definitely been paying off, especially we see during last year during pandemic when it first started. You know, we see like entire nation states, like their education system went online and in a matter of weeks. And then you're talking about, you know, like hundreds of thousands of, you know, accounts, if not in the millions. And the services, you know, we just automatically, elastically scale out as well as, you know, onboard all the users with no interruption. So I think that gives a testimony in terms of both the scale and the resilience. But of course, you know, just running any cloud services, it is a journey. We'll continue to improve reliability in all of the areas across the Microsoft Identity Services.
Okay, great. Last question for you. You already touched on this a bit earlier, but we were talking about how 2020 and the pandemic basically changed some priorities for customers and Microsoft around identity and security. Are there any other things that we should be looking forward to in 2021 in terms of new priorities or updated priorities because of what's been going on with the pandemic and customers changing their game plan?
Yeah, this past year, frankly, just reaffirmed just how important it is to invest in cloud identity, both for our customers as well as for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. You know, like around the last, you know, this time last year, we authored our identity blog in terms of our priorities. So I told customers that their number one priority is to connect all their apps to a single cloud identity solution. As a matter of fact, you know, customers who made that investment were able to pivot to remote work much faster and frankly painlessly when COVID hit versus the others who would take a bit more time. And the companies who's on this journey, they are not going back. They're just accelerating the adoption. And also flexible work arrangement, frankly, is here to stay, right? We all hear that, you know, we don't think, you know, we'll ever go back to the way it was. I think we all imagine some kind of hybrid environment to move forward. So remote work is going to continue to be front and center. So if anything, our customer just realizing that they need to provide remote access to all apps, including legacy apps that we've been helping them. And we, from all the conversation in the past year, we talked to customer about their priorities and the things, then their feedback and build it to our priority, which, you know, we'll author our blog, I think in the coming week for 2021. Mm-hmm. It's one of the five things. Number one is to adopt a zero trust security strategy to protect against any attacks and identify compromise. Second is connecting all apps to a cloud identity system so that you can give employees and the customers, partners secure access from anywhere to all apps. And third, as I said, just use the password this year and so adopt passwordless authentication. It's secure and it's more user friendly. The fourth is, you know, we also see as hackers, you know, attackers, you know, they attack obviously credentials, but they also move to attack the apps itself. So we think it's important to secure user access to our apps, but important to make sure that apps themselves are also trustworthy. And last but not least is, you know, if pandemic taught us anything, is the collaboration beyond the organization boundaries is critical. So to enable secure collaboration across organization boundaries is absolutely the key. And we frankly been, you know, on this execution path relentlessly, you know, in the past year. And, you know, our industry influencer also noticed it. So I'm pretty proud to say for the fourth year in a row, the Gartner has placed Microsoft in their leaders quadrant for identity access management. As a matter of fact, 2020, we are the leader. So it's pretty exciting to see. Mm-hmm. Last, Mary Jo, I would just say, like, along with these priorities, we also continue to invest in decentralized identity and the verifiable credentials because we believe that is the future of identity as we see it. You know, last year we shared our work on a pilot called, MuleGear programs of the U.S. Department of Defense. And we absolutely will have more to share in 2020.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for all the information and for taking the time today, Joy. It was really exciting for me to finally get to interview you, something I've never gotten to do until now, which is kind of surprising.
Well, I'm very, very honored to be invited, and thanks for having me.
Great. For everyone else listening right now to this or reading the transcript, I'll be putting up more information soon on Petri about who my next guest is going to be. And once you see that, you can submit questions directly on Twitter for the guests using the hashtag MJFChat. In the meantime, if you know of anyone else or even yourself who might make a good guest for one of these MJF chats, please don't hesitate to drop me a note. Thank you very much.